Proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your hosts, Ramon and Nena Arias. They have proclaimed truth for over 30 years in many nations of the world and now endeavor to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They are passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now your hosts, Ramon and Nena Arias.
Just like the introduction reminds us, ideas do have consequences. And every day we deal with issues. Every day we have to make up our mind. What is true? What is a lie? What is evil? What is good? What is right? What is wrong? What is corrupt? So we have to pay a lot of attention to all the details and everything that comes out of anybody's mouth, anybody's writing, anybody's filming. It is a constant war for the mind of individuals. The ones that are supposed to be the most prepared or well prepared to face whatever circumstance we may deal with are the ones that profess to be born again Christians. And yet within the Christian camp, there are so many perspectives in relation to how do we interpret reality, politics, economics, the world of arts, the world of entertainment, education, science. There's this big gap between different denominations and their understanding. And the world needs answers. And who is giving them the answers? Those who do not have the mind of Christ, those who do not believe in the revealed truth of God. So what kind of environment are they making? Well, just look around you. And if you are really interested in knowing more of the whys this nation has been going in the direction that is not looking good for this present generation, much less for future generations, just see if you can take a tour of what was happening in this nation from 1830 until the 1960s. And then from the 1960s, check out and see what were the trends and look where we are today. And you know why? Well, we're going to address briefly in our topic. To invalidate God's word is to destroy culture. I'm Ramon Arias.
And I'm Nena Arias, and it's great to have you all with us once again.
The worst thing Christian America has done, for the most part, is to gradually invalidate the effectiveness of God's ethics as they are revealed in His Word. It is amazing and sad, and it does call for some anger to know that the majority of Christians don't even consider the importance of God's ethics and how the Bible reveals that ethics is the foundation of everything that we read in God's revealed truth in order for us to apply those ethics in all areas of life. People are constantly looking for the understanding of meaning and purpose in life, and they look for those answers from every direction. No one has been able to get those answers by not understanding God's character, God's purpose for humanity. No one. And when we have a society that invalidates the Word of God, then how can people build their decisions? How can they make choices? How can they develop their families, their businesses? How can they foresee the future? How can they understand anything at all? And when people look towards Christianity, what are they seeing in us as a whole? Not much. And they don't respect Christianity. This is one of the reasons why Christianity in America is under tremendous attack, persecution in many areas. The reason this nation was different in the history of the world was the arrival of the children of the Reformation that came to this land with a vision of carrying on with what they were not allowed to do in Europe. They came from all over. They trickled after the Pilgrims, then the Puritans, and then others came. The word got out in Europe. Guess what? This land, the New England, it is a land of opportunity where we can raise our families. We can establish a society based upon God's ethics. No restriction, no persecution from the Church of England, no persecution from kings or queens. They came and they had this vision. Pastors were teaching the Word of God according to the revealed law of God from different denominations, but they all had one thing in common. They did understand the law of God and how important was the law of God in all areas of life. That was one of the reasons why they came. Think about that for a moment. That wave of immigrants that came year after year, decade after decade, with that in mind. That is until in the mid-19th century, another wave of Europeans with the opposite worldview, which was destroying the old continent, came to implement those failing philosophies here in America. You had Charles Darwin's view of life without God and evolution and everything that came out of that idea. You had the view of Karl Marx of this society where everybody was going to be equal, everybody was going to enjoy equal pay, this utopian perspective of world where everybody was going to be happy, no more different levels of society, different levels of income. All those ideas and more perspective of that philosophy that came to this nation begin to creep into the church more and more and more. And the pulpits of this nation begin to get these strange doctrines. And those strange doctrines in the church begin to take away from people's understanding about the vision, the involvement of God in men's affairs. When the church stops teaching the full counsel of God for all areas of life, then people don't feel compelled that they should obey whatever the Bible calls them to fulfill. They want God's blessings, but they don't want the responsibility. And that's how we can detect, we can go back decade after decade to see how the pulpits of this nation, Christians in this nation for the most part, the majority of them begin to withdraw from being that salt, from being engaged in the world of ideas. And here we are.
Which is probably why all those philosophies and those ideas of the Karl Marxes and those like him was appealing to people, because here were these men saying, you know what, we can create a perfect world, but we do not need God. We don't need his requirements bearing down upon us. And people like benefits without the work. So clearly they appealed to a lazy people, but who want to get. And that resounded, which is what is happening today. That is resounding in a lot of people's hearts. Yeah, we can do this. We can do this. Let's take from the rich and give to the poor, and we can all be happy and everybody will be provided for, and we can create this perfect world. But they're forgetting. They want to exclude the one who created the world.
To the lazy people, we must add the majority of the people who don't want to face God's ethics. So, you know, yeah, that sounds very good to me. And when pastors begin to compromise the word of God in order to appease the culture and the people that attend their churches, this is the reason, once again, America is in a great need of courageous voices that will not be intimidated by the forces of humanism and effectively expose with facts what has happened to American society and what must be done to return it to sanity. With boldness, Jesus confronted the religious leaders of Israel and unmasked their true agenda. Consider what he told the religious leaders and is registered in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. When the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God,' he need not to honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God."
In other words, they wanted the young people to rebel against the parents and give them the gain, the money. It was all about money. It's all about materialism. It's all about getting from people rather than obeying God.
And what we glean from this incident that Matthew registered, apart from how they were distorting God's law, God's ethics, and they were focusing on something that was of no value, and they were bypassing the important aspect of God's morality. You see, if I don't wash my hands for whatever reason, culture is not going to be affected. I'm talking about the average day in and day out. Culture is not going to be affected. Now, you can get technical on me and say, well, you know, you can transmit germs and that can cause people to get sick and they can, you know, go into an expense that was not necessarily. I understand that part. But what I'm bringing to you is that culture is affected by our behavior, meaning our moral behavior. And Jesus is condemning the religious leaders for replacing the requirements of the moral law of God and accuse them of bringing damaging changes to the cultural environment. When teachers of God's word substitute their perspective of how they want people to interpret God's morality that has nothing to do with what God has revealed, then you are altering culture, you are altering people's behavior, and that's going to be very damaging. Jesus was not looking for sympathy and admiration when he was confronting the religious leaders. That was the motivation of the Pharisees and scribes, to look for position in society of letting people know that they were the authority when it came to understand and make known people, okay, this is how you need to know the word of God. Now, if people knew the word of God, they could easily stop the religious leaders and say, wait a minute, you're teaching wrong. But a lot of people do not want to confront their leaders because they're saying, well, he's the pastor. He's a theologian. He's the one that went to, you know, the theological seminary. He has all these degrees. He has written so many books. He's very well known. He has radio programs. He's got, or she's got, television programs. Look at all the millions of people agree with his or her teachings. You see, admiration is not something that Christ was looking after. And he confronted the religious leaders. Jesus Christ did not give honor to the position they held because they made the people believe they were God ordained to teach the ways of reconciliation and the benefits thereof. But in reality, they were twisting God's word. When you read Matthew chapter 23, all the chapter, you begin to see Jesus' very confrontational discourse with the leadership about their hypocrisy and how they destroy people, they destroy culture, they destroy God's people. In Matthew 23, verses 23 and 24, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Do you think it went well with the leaders when Jesus was confronting them, calling them hypocrites, exposing them to the public, exposing them to the masses? Don't forget that not long after this incident, the crowds that welcomed Christ into Jerusalem with hosannas and hosannas, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, hosanna, blessed is the Son of David, they were the same people who were going to tell Pilate, crucify him, crucify him. You see, when you rattle the theologian's cage, they get angry and they will do anything to destroy you. That's what Jesus confronted. He was not telling them not to tithe, but he said, have neglected the weightier matters of the law, God's moral law. Jesus confronted the religious leaders for mishandling, bypassing, making of no value the moral law of God. The moral law of God, Jesus said, evolves around justice, mercy, and faithfulness. There is no other foundation in order for us to understand how to go about doing the right thing, how to show this mercy, first that comes from God and we transmit that to others, the faithfulness that we need in order for us to fulfill God's calling upon our lives. When the leadership is corrupt in their handling of God's moral law, then the teachings will be corrupted and the people will corrupt their ways, and you have a culture of corruption that grows and grows. Jesus revealed their smokescreen. And in Matthew 15, verse 7 through 9, he said, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me while teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. End of quote. Jesus was reminding the leadership how, even in the times of Isaiah, the religious leaders corrupted the moral law of God, God's commandments. They switched one for others, and always Israel was in deep cultural trouble. And God sanctioned Israel because their departure from God's commandments.
You would think that God's law and God's word was forefront in their minds because they were always commanded to read it and teach it to their children day in and day out. So it should have been something, you know, front and foremost in their thoughts and in their minds, so they could easily have detected the doctrines that the scribes and Pharisees were teaching. They could have easily detected that they were twisted and wrong.
Except that the problem is when people are putting all their confidence in those who are teaching them. And when they receive the teachings from others, they neglect their responsibility of researching the scriptures. You see, the commandments of men and the teachings of humanism are one and the same evil. That is what Jesus has been saying all along. You cannot bring about order when you alter, when you invalidate God's word. The corruption of the leadership in God's camp is not a pass for God's people to be exempted or exonerated from their responsibility before God. And Jesus wanted to be sure the people knew that the responsibility fell upon them as well for being negligent. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 20, he said this, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This most likely surprised the people who were listening to him, Because when people are accustomed to just walk into a meeting, listen to whatever teaching is going on, and not really taking personal responsibility for further study, analysis, to look for facts, to double check, people walk away with whatever teaching they receive, and they are saying, oh, okay, well, I listen to the Word of God. I listen to the teaching, so I'm ready for the week. And most people forget what the teaching was all about to begin with.
This is the image that a lot of the non-believers have of the Christians, that to be a Christian, you have to check out of your mind. I mean, you do not have to use your mind or your intellect to understand what you believe and why you believe it, because they're not able to give the proper answers. So we are accused, or Christianity is accused, of being intellectually weak. And that is not appealing, to say that, you know, to be a Christian, you have to be an idiot or a person who does not critically think or understand things. That's embarrassing, because we do have the mind of Christ. I cannot imagine Christ being dumb. I cannot imagine Christ being dumbfounded when he is asked a question of importance and he has no answer. So we are clearly at fault when we check out of our mental capacity to explain or have an answer of what we believe and why we believe it.
That's why next time you read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, don't forget this, Matthew 5, verse 20, because Christ was very clear, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes, exceeds. You know what that means? That means that Jesus was telling them, you have to know God's revealed truth. You cannot rely upon anyone else but the Word of God in order for you to gain the understanding, because there's a lot of benefits that God has for you, but also with those benefits, you get responsibilities. If you do not exceed what they're teaching you, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was clearly letting the people know that the teachers of the moral law of God did not live up to the demands of God's commandments. We have to be real. We have to be totally convinced that we are living the Word of God. Any distortion of God's ethical requirements are perversions. It is not what we call ourselves or how much we can quote from the Bible that counts, but our lifestyle that reveals our attitudes and motives of who we are and to what degree we embrace the full counsel of God. We cannot indefinitely cover up if we do not have the fullness of God revealed by the fruit of the Spirit. I'm sure you remember what Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. We're talking about what we become by being obedient to God's ethics. The born-again experience gives us the ability to be led of the Spirit of God in order for us to attain that dimension of God's character. That's why Jesus told the crowds, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Once again, the pulpits of America must teach with boldness God's moral demands from his people in addressing all social issues with love, compassion, and courage. Sin needs to be called for what it is in all areas of human behavior. No exemptions. We must differentiate ourselves from those who pretend to represent God. We must be like Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, after Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. You see a pattern? It is not The title of the individual that matters is the essence, the reality, the truth of God's revealed word. To be right with God is the most important and eternal act of obedience. People will know when we are speaking the truth that comes from God. They will know. And we have a choice. Who do we want to please, God or man? That's our task, day in and day out. If invalidating the word of God destroys the culture, which clearly means that validating the word of God in us can restore the culture, because once we are walking in God's knowledge, then we can execute that knowledge no matter what we are commissioned to do in this life. My God, we will do it with gladness. And you have to make the difference. You are living a legacy. Whether nobody ever hears of you, you still are called by God to be that salt, to be that light. You have to make a decision to know the word of God. And God cannot fail you or anybody that commits to be a student of God's word and to really compare the scriptures and to understand everything that is around you. God is faithful. That's why he commissioned the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. He will guide us. He will instruct us to understand his word and how those eternal truths can be applied in our life and everything else that we are commissioned to do. We cannot depend upon our spiritual growth just thinking if we have somebody that is going to feed us, when the word of God is the nourishment that our spirit needs, and we are responsible to feed ourselves, to feed our families with the word of God, and to be able to make the difference. Let us be that answer that God has for others to see his written word in us as we live his principles in spirit and in truth. Let us pray for the biblical reformation. We desperately need that reformation. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us in this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions and comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 1-877-732-2887. Again, 1-877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.